Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Restlessness is a Gift podcast. This is a little different episode because, well, this is a little different week, to be honest with you. This week, April 25th, is the launch day for the book, The Gift of Restlessness, A Spirituality for Unsettled Seasons. I'm excited about this week, I'm not going to lie. After all the commercials and after all the talking and after everything that goes into launching a book, this is the time that is really most exciting because I wrote this book so people would read it. Well, I wrote it to try and make sense of things, which we'll talk about here in a second. But I wrote the book so that you would read it and hopefully find some help, some energy, some permission, all of those sorts of things. And what I want to talk about today in the podcast is just that it's curious to think about how this book came to be. And I think books are curious things anyway. I was listening to an audiobook by Neil Gaiman. If you haven't heard Neil Gaiman at all, it's a book called Art Matters, and it's about writing and books and creativity. And he was talking about the writer Douglas Adams, who wrote A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And Douglas Adams said that books are like sharks, which is intimidating, but the explanation actually makes sense. He said, essentially, sharks have been around since before dinosaurs because there is nothing better at being a shark than a shark. And he said, that's why books are so powerful, because there's nothing better at being a book than a book. Books live, exist, and thrive in our digital climate because ultimately, whether it's audio or digital or print, there's nothing better at being a book than an actual book. But if you want to talk about what makes a book really live, I think you have to talk about the fact that books are just beginnings. The book that's coming out this week, this Gift of Restlessness book, it's just a beginning. Books are great at starting things like conversations and lines of thought and even political and personal revolutions. But everything anyone has ever written, everything I have ever written in the past is really just a stab at starting something. That's all I've been after. All the blogs that I've written on this website, any articles I've written, any other books, talks, anything that has become a piece to be shared and consumed, it's just the genesis of something else. It's just a starting point for other things. This Restless book is that. It isn't the conclusive guide to what we do when we're restless. It's not. But I feel like it's, you know, at least it's the way I'm making sense of this. Most of writing is trying to make sense of what you're thinking. And so this is just how I'm making sense of this existentially shared reality. And at best, this book is an invitation for you, for other people, to join in the creative journey of receiving irritated and unsettled seasons, as not as an enemy or not as a threat, but as a key to your growth. I feel really strongly that life with the divine is about starting something. The arc of every human story, every human story is a spiritual story. The arc of every human story, every spiritual story begins with, well, a beginning. It begins with a beginning, right? That's so profound, Casey. But if you look at Moses' story in the Hebrew scriptures begins with a basket in a river. The story of Joshua, one of the heroes of the Hebrew scriptures, it begins with wandering in the desert. Jesus' story begins with stars and a stable and savage tyrant kings. Each beginning is also an immediate thing. And so there's typically no preparation or no preamble. We start where we are. And that's the wonderful thing about a book. A book meets you where you are. It doesn't wait for you to be ready. It doesn't wait for you to be prepared. It doesn't require anything else of you. It meets you there. So page one of the book, or day one of the job, or the first breath of life, that's where we begin. And we make our way from there. And so I wonder if you who are listening to this can fully embrace this today. The divine is beginning something today in each one of us. there are, of course, our works in progress, right? Our life story as it is up to this point. And yet within each large overarching story, there are little beginnings as well. There are new ways of seeing what we've already seen or already been part of up to this point. There's new ways of seeing it that emerge like tulips in early spring. There's a thought that sits in our mind and it squishes into our thoughts and feelings and it makes itself comfortable and we're content to just keep company with that new thought or that new notion that's come to mind. Or maybe someone creatively reimagines a blessing or a prayer and we see a common thing that we've known or we've heard however many times, but we see it in an uncommon way. And from there, a path opens up to us and it begs us to explore it. A new beginning shows up between us and the divine. Here's what I know about this new little project that's launching into the world. Number one, I wrote it in my basement, in my office, in some hotel rooms, probably in the dining room at some point. I wrote parts of it while I was furious, parts of it while I was bored, parts of it when I was depressed, and parts of it I wrote when I was really fogged up after having COVID-19. Parts of this I wrote while I didn't quite know what to say, and parts I wrote when I was struggling to even believe what I was saying. I wrote it while I was hungry, when I hadn't showered, when I was distracted or tired. I wrote when I was anxious. Why did I do that? Why do I even mention all that? I did it because I wanted to start something. If for no one else, I wanted to get what was in my bones regarding restlessness out into the air and just to see what it looked like. So what you need to know is this. This book that I'm talking about is by no means the best book you will ever read, ever. It isn't really even the best book on restlessness or spirituality or spiritual practice. And I say this, hopefully you don't hear this as false humility. I say this with all the true humility I can muster. I'm just not that smart. I'm just not smart enough to write that kind of book. But what I am willing to do is to start something. And what I know is this book might start something for you. And I know that because I know it started some things for others. It started some things for me. Every time I have to talk about it, I kind of ask myself, why would you write a book about restlessness and now you have to talk about it? But I know that it has started some things for other people. I've heard feedback from early readers who, some of them aren't even people of faith, and they said this book connected with them in a certain way. Because this book is about those irritated, unsettled seasons, those times when we get stuck in the present tense. Those times when we can't go back, but we have no idea what moving forward looks like. The times when we say what we're thinking rather than think about what we're saying, and now there are consequences we have to deal with. Not that any of you have ever done that. I've done that, but no one else has. When we leave the job we started on a Monday, and then it's the job we're asked to leave for the final time on a Friday. When a diagnosis changes our calendar indefinitely. When the faith questions that used to just pique our curiosity and say, ooh, I wonder what I should do with that. When they then become center stage, and we feel like we have no choice but to re-examine our connection with God and with self and with others. Those are the moments I'm talking about. These moments that lead us into wilderness where everything is stripped away. All of our common ways of dealing with the world and our lizard brain, our survival kicks in. But it just doesn't work. And so Jesus says, why don't you come and abide in the wilderness? Here's the way. Come and abide between the wild beasts and the angels. And see this as a gift to cultivate. See this ability to sit in the restless seasons and receive that gift. See that as something good that you can cultivate. But how do we do it? Well, in the book, I examine, and it's really in the background, how the Lord's Prayer is actually a really good guide to these restless times. The reason why is because it gives us the key questions. Each line of the Lord's Prayer really reflects a deeper human question. And I've noticed even people who are non-religious or not people of faith have resonated with that idea. Questions like, where do I belong? Or what am I here for? Or is there enough? Those are often the drivers for our seasons of restlessness. And if we connect with them, this book invites us to sit with those questions, to connect with those questions, and then receive the gift that we'll find there. And we only find that gift if we don't try to force our way out or medicate or use compulsive behaviors to cover over our feelings of restlessness. If we don't succumb to cynicism, that's hard to say, succumb to cynicism, and then let that restless season run us over. Instead, what we do, friends, is we sit between the wild beasts and the angels, the things that seem to threaten our life, and the things that seem to be the answer, the future, the salvation. And with all of our typical fineries and skills and abilities stripped away, we begin to see our true selves. This is who we are. And there we can begin to make some new attachments to the divine, some new attachments to ourselves, and some new attachments to others. We learn that what we do is far less important than what we love. We find that enough, whatever enough money or enough time, enough friendships, can be defined differently for different times. We sit between our desire to see the world mended and our feeling that any kind of healing is just absurd based on our experience. We see the seasons of our lives clearly through the lens of whether or not we feel safe and what the key threats to us might be. And finally, we reckon with what salvation, what does it mean to be rescued or to be saved? And what role do we play in that salvation? Again, this book is really just trying to start something. A revolution of thought, maybe start some conversations, some prayers, some views on spirituality, some views on work, some views on our habits, on and on. It's just there to start something. And that's my hope. Let's just start something. Let's start something with parents in the south suburbs of Chicago and educators in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in readers down under and just over the Atlantic. I pray that something might begin in these little pages and with these small stories of grace. So for you today, what is the divine starting in you? What are some beginnings that you're noticing? What is the first step on the way of following these beginnings, wherever they might lead? What is the first thing you feel prompted to do? And if it's a help, and if you feel it might be helpful, perhaps this book could be a good guide for you. It's available wherever you pick up your books, wherever you buy them. I would love it if you would grab a copy for yourself, maybe one for someone else, and begin something with me. So, as you listen to this, may you pursue whatever it is that God is starting in you, that the divine is starting in you. May you pursue your restlessness as far as it might take you. And may you find the gift in the midst of it. Thank you so much for listening, friends. This podcast is one of the most fun things I do in a week's time. And so thank you for listening to it and making this possible. Thanks again to my friend Robert Ebbins for the wonderful music he's provided for this podcast. And may you read well and live well. May you start something today. And I'll see you along the way. Peace, friends.